Holidays. March break. March break began after school on Friday, and lots of families were planning to travel. Some people, though, may have canceled their trips because public health has advised non-essential international travel because of the coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic. And the rampant spread of this virus has governments calling for further restrictions. And Foreign Affairs Minister Françoise-Philippe Champagne has recommended that Canadians traveling abroad should return to Canada while commercial flights are still available. And for those of us who weren't planning on traveling, we might have been looking forward to watching sports on television like college basketball's March Madness and the start of the baseball season. But it's not just sports that have been impacted by the pandemic. Filming has been postponed on some shows and films, as has the Hot Docs Festival in Toronto. The AGO, the museum, and the CN Tower have closed, as have our local neighborhood libraries. Raise your hand if you're disappointed, but understand the reason for all these stoppages and closures. Raise your hand if you're thinking twice about going shopping. Just thinking twice. Who here has been unable to find what they wanted or even what they needed at the grocery store? I couldn't find Clorox wipes. Visiting. Raise your hand if you've decided not to visit someone who is vulnerable to this disease. Raise your hand if you've been asked not to visit or to visit with restrictions like wearing a mask. Just so that you know, the Grenadier has asked for non-essential visitors to not visit. Raise your hand if you're not visiting or going to places just in case you get exposed or just in case you expose someone vulnerable to the disease. Now imagine if you had COVID-19. Not many people would maybe want to visit you. People would not especially want to visit if they had small children or elderly parents they're looking after, just in case they bring that disease back with them. But consider how you would feel if your symptoms were mild and no one wanted to visit you. In our story today, the woman at the well goes to get water when the sun is at its height. She doesn't have a few feet to walk, to turn on a tap, to get water. She has to walk more than just a few blocks. So why does she go when it's so hot? She goes when it's really inconvenient because people don't really want to hang out with her. And watching them pretend not to look at her, watching people actively avoid her or look away, that still stings, even though it's been decades. Why are people avoiding her? She doesn't have leprosy. It's not visible. Why do her neighbors shun her? For years, I thought people avoided the woman at the well because she wasn't loyal. She had loose morals. But here's the thing. If you heard this morning, or if you read the scripture again, if she really was loose, and you're from a small town, wouldn't subsequent husbands know about her lack of loyalty? So then why would they marry her? Maybe the question isn't about morals at all. Five men marry her. Five. First two, if she had loose morals, maybe you could understand. But what about husband three, husband four, and husband five? And they've all seemingly divorced her. So what on earth is going on? After listening to preacher Caroline Lewis, I realized that I had just accepted what other ministers had said about the Samaritan woman. I hadn't myself really carefully looked at that text, or I just brushed it over. You know, these are learned people. They went to seminary. They know more than I do. But was she really a woman with loose morals? Lewis challenges us on how to read scripture. Because if we understand the cultural context of what women experienced in Jesus' time, we will understand this passage differently. The Samaritan woman at the well was probably, most likely, barren. She couldn't have children. But in that period of time, children were so important. And so the men wanted children, and when you have a wife who can't bear you a child, unless you really loved her, unless you had strength of character and a backbone to put up with all the gossiping about, oh, there goes that childless couple, just easier to divorce. Easier for the man, that is. And in a time when women cannot get jobs and have financial independence, in a time when families are easily ashamed by relatives who are rejected by the community through no fault of their own, the Samaritan woman is rejected repeatedly. She's ignored. She's avoided because you just might catch what she's got, not being able to bear kids. So there she is in the heat of the day, all sweaty and thirsty, and now she has to pull up that bucket of water to fill her jug and then carry that heavy jug back in the heat of the day. She's grumpy and carrying years of heartache in her heart when this Jewish guy demands water from her, a Samaritan. Maybe something like a Republican asking a Democrat for help. Anyway, when you read the New Testament Greek, Jesus does not say please. He doesn't. The verb is in the imperative. It's a command. Give me water. Give me water. And here begins now a conversation about God's gift, living water, eternal life, worshiping in spirit and truth. And there are many things that I could tell you about God's gift, living water, eternal life, and worshiping in spirit and truth this morning. But what I want to focus on is what Caroline Lewis was talking about as she was talking about John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and that is belonging. Belonging. I preached last week about Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus. And in that conversation, Jesus talks to Nicodemus about how God has given us the power to become God's children. And when we become God's children, we know that we have belonging. No one can take that away. We matter. I've been a little bit addicted to the news lately and the craziness around the pandemic. Seeing pictures of lineups around Costco, people lining up hours before the stores even open, people fighting over a last package of toilet paper. If you need toilet paper, give me a ring. I can spare you a few rolls. As events and activities close down, and as people isolate, where do we feel and find belonging? What does that mean? In Nicodemus's conversation with Jesus, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." We didn't read the last little bit, but at the end of the story with the woman at the well, people come to believe, not just because of this woman's testimony, but because they come and they see Jesus. They believe for themselves that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Here's an interesting tidbit. In the whole Gospel of John, This is the only time the word Savior is used. The only time. Before he's even dead. Before he's even resurrected. And it's not just Savior of the Jews or the ancient Middle East. It's cosmos, the world. Why did I include in our reading verse 4? Verse 4 in our scripture, I've just got to find my page, sorry. He had to go through Samaria on the way. If you know anything about the geography, Jesus did not have to go to Samaria to go where he wanted to go. He did not have to go through. It would have been a longer journey, but he did not have to go through. So why does he go through Samaria? Because the wonderful news about belonging, about eternal life, is for everyone. And it starts with the first preacher, the Samaritan woman at the well that people have shunned. The woman who has no belonging, Jesus says, here, belonging can be yours. Come and see. Come and see. We belong. God's belonging is for us. And in this time of crisis, what will that belonging look like? Doesn't mean we ignore ration or reason. But as the prayer read this morning, how will we respond with love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life that begins now. Amen.